Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
6-3 sounds good, does it not?
Big difference between 6-3, 5-4, Ken.
Been saying it for years.
Big difference.
Been saying it for years. Boy, we find ourselves in a cat fight right now, don't we? Yeah, Nick Chubb with 126 yards. Kareem Hunt, 104 yards. They rushed for 231 on the ground as a football team. And the only team that did you a favor over this last weekend of all teams were the Baltimore Ravens.
Hell yeah.
Everybody else just decided to go right along with you. Miami won, the Raiders won, the Colts won back on Thursday night. We are in a fight for that number 6, number 7, number 5, who knows? We are in a fight for a playoff spot right now, Tone Master General. Good morning.
It's a thing of beauty. You know, I look up and seeing that the, you know, I went to bed before the end of the Ravens game last night, and I knew they had really bad conditions for that game, too. But them losing that game, it kind of changes everything, does it not?
Yes, it
Plus,
does.
They had a number of injuries. So when you play the Ravens again, it's going to be a different story. You know, it could be a very different story, and so you're feeling more confident. If the Patriots could run the football against them, why not the Cleveland Browns with Chubb and Hunt and Wyatt Teller? I mean, why not?
I thought yesterday there were a lot of people who were upset about the game plan. We can get into the game plan. I thought that Kevin Stefanski, or Stefanski as he was called numerous times, there were a couple of things that I think we could really get into here.
Were a lot of people mad about the game plan?
Oh, on Twitter, yeah. Well, if you look at Twitter, it's 95% bitching. So,
see, I was going to start out by saying, how hard is it to coach in the NFL? Because they basically had the same game plan that 100% of our fans had before the game, which was, yeah, just run the football.
Yeah, but
don't let Baker ruin this for you. Just run the football, run the football, run the football. And Stefanski did what so many coaches have failed to do over the years. Just do what you're good at. And the Browns did what they were good at.
Some people want it because if it's not pounding away, because people want 35 points a game, and I understand that. I want 35 points a game too. But because it's not pounding away for big chunks at a time, well, we need more vision. What's going on? There's nothing there. There's no ingenuity. There's no fun to this offense. There was a couple of play calls there that I thought were pretty strong play calls. You had a jet sweep to Hunt on 3rd and 9 that went for 11.
You know what's pretty fun?
What?
Winning a football game is fun. That's pretty fun.
I thought that was a wild play call by him. I said, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Did a jet sweep on 3rd and 9?
Look,
got 11 out of that? Ew.
Well, there's a few things there. I mean, look, you're playing a wounded team, a team that, and we said this before the game on the pregame show, if you just get out to a lead and impose your will, you know, that team may quit. Now, you didn't really impose your will. You did run the football, and Kareem Hunt was really good. Chubb, until that last run, was actually bottled up most of the game. I mean, that was probably one of his most pedestrian games, but you stick with him. You stick with him because you know he has the opportunity to do what he did on that. I think going into that last carry, he was averaging 3.9 yards per carry or something, 3.8.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
But you saw that last play was actually bottled up. The Texans had it. They had him behind the line of scrimmage, and then he almost houses it. So that just shows you why he is such a difference maker, which we already knew, and we wondered how healthy he would be. And I don't know. Most of the game, I think you'd say, well, he doesn't look 100%, but then he could do that on the final play. which was so big. And obviously we'll get into the smarts of going out of bounds, and he tricked everybody and upset all the gamblers. Good. Don't care.
Oh, I want to get into that as soon as possible.
I just want to say that when we do these conversations, these heavy-duty, futuristic conversations about what the Browns are going to do with running back, because no analytics group would ever pay a running back a ton, given what we know about this league. But then you see what he does, and you're like, don't you have to pay him? It's not going to be an easy decision
for this
group.
Also, I wanted to throw this at you here. Not in your face, but at you. John Lopez, who's the co-host with Landry down there at 610 in Houston, mm-hmm. did at 3:49 p.m. yesterday, did write, the Browns are imposing their will, not a typo. At that point, the Browns were imposing their will. For most of the game, I thought it was a back and forth. I thought the defense did pretty well. I know you probably disagree with that. I thought the defense did pretty well.
Well, you can't totally disagree. I mean, they only gave up 7 points. So, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop with the defense, and I think Romeo did just as much to stop Deshaun Watson as maybe the Browns did. But, hey, you only gave up 7 points. You got to give the defense
yesterday,
credit in that situation.
Yeah. Yesterday in that second half, and you and I noticed the same play, and I'm going to bring this up again later throughout the show as well. I thought that this was one of the – you always talk about the old Cleveland and new Cleveland. I thought that this was old NFL versus new NFL. It's 4th and 4. Stefanski has him out there on 4th and 4. You're at midfield. If you're Romeo Crennel, I go, okay, you're either calling a timeout yourself or go ahead and snap the ball and see what happens. Like, it's still Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I'm willing to take my chances. If you don't convert on 4th and 4, you're in a really bad predicament here, and you're going to put your defense in a bad spot. It's only at that time. Was it only a 3-0 game at that time, or was it still... No, it was 10-0 at that time.
10-0.
So you had two timeouts right before that. You take your second timeout. And I jotted it down. I said that could be big for Cleveland later on. And sure as hell, it ended up being big for Cleveland later on. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And for Watson, if you think about this, if you don't call that timeout, you force Cleveland to call a timeout. You have Watson at that time who pulled a rabbit out of his hat. He was going down on 3rd down and long. Ended up converting to Randall Cobb out of nowhere.
What was that? How could he even see?
That's one of those things I thought. I just had visions of Brandon Whedon. I had visions of old Browns quarterbacks. I go, man, if any of those guys try that, that's a pick six going the other way and a laugher. And for somehow, some way, Deshaun Watson saw Randall Cobb and was able to convert that. And then 90 seconds later, they were in the end zone.
And seven it was plays, 10-7. 90 yards on that drive.
Yeah.
That was... Man, the defense was doing their job the entire game, and then the Texans made it look easy, and you're like, uh-oh.
And they get the ball back, and the Browns get the ball back, and they just pound it down. I go, man, I bet you really wish you had that second timeout now, didn't you? Who knows? I mean, maybe the Browns still win, but I'm thinking, man, that's – like, if you're Kevin Stefanski in that situation, maybe I'll be wrong here over the next coming weeks. I don't know. If you're Kevin Stefanski and you're on the other side of that, you're not calling a timeout, are you? Like, if you're the team down 10-0 and they march him out there on 4th and 4, why are you calling the timeout? There's no reason for you to call the timeout.
Listen, this is why the Texans came into the game with two wins.
Yep.
This is why they fired their head coach. This is why they have Corn Ferry conducting a coaching and a GM search. They are a discombobulated team, and you took advantage of it.
I got zero.
But you know what? You still had to make the plays.
Yes. I have zero against Romeo. I don't mean to bag on Romeo. We're talking about the Browns, and we're moving on. We're 6-3, but I'm going, man, that is so 2007. That's 2005. That's early 2000s NFL stuff. This is different now, man.
It was.
And they, I was
the
happy.
Texans have found a way to screw up having a quarterback, something we've never had, and they've found a way to screw it up.
Yep.
So we'll dance on their grave. We'll be happy to do it. I have no idea who's going to be there next year. Don't care. Browns are 6-3, and they needed it. The Browns absolutely needed that win, because 5-4 with all these teams jumbled up would have been a nightmare today. Would have been an absolute nightmare today if the Texans found a way to win that game.
All right. You ready to talk about the gamblers and the fantasy football players?
They are furious. They hate the Browns.
They hate Nick Chubb, and they hate the Browns. Guys, this is why I tell you, don't be gambling on the Browns, man. Don't be gambling on your favorite football team. All right, if it were me, I can see I'm not talking about the gambling standpoint. You get what you get. What's on you is what's on you. I don't care about the fantasy football standpoint because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But you remember you brought up the Todd Gurley thing from, what, 3 weeks ago in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
When he tried to hit the brakes and he just like fell into the end zone and then ended up losing.
He couldn't control his body.
People were blaming Todd Gurley. Like, part of me, I turn around and go, hey, you know what? You got 11 guys on defense. How about you go make a stop, okay? I'm a running back. You tell me to score. That's what I'm paid to do. That's what you want me to do. And then you tell me to hit the brakes. Nick Chubb had plenty of time in his run to think, oh, yeah, I'm going to run out of bounds here. And he ran out of bounds there. And if I'm Nick Chubb, it was a smart play. I don't besmirch Nick Chubb at all. But if I'm Nick Chubb, I'm scoring. There's 56 seconds left to go. I'm putting the ball in the end zone. I'm getting my second touchdown of the day. It's 17-7. Anything could happen over the next 56 seconds. Anything at all could have happened. You could have marched your defense out there, as we saw with 8 seconds left to go at about this time last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anything could happen in a game that's wrapped up. So I totally get where Nick Chubb's saying. And I love Nick Chubb for doing it. It's why Nick Chubb's my favorite football player for this Browns football team. However, I had to look at it and I thought, I don't care about the gamblers. I don't care about the fantasy football players. I only know me. I probably would have just kept running into the end zone. It's what I'm known to do. It's what I'm supposed to do 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, if he scores there, I mean, how much time is left on the clock? If he scores, their win percentage, that stupid win percentage thing that ESPN puts up that is meaningless. But in that case, their win percentage probably goes up to like 99.9%. So the odds of them losing the game if he scores a touchdown there are they're insanely minuscule.
I'm so impressed by the presence of mind. I'm so wildly impressed. I cannot get over it. It's one of the most selfless moves I've ever seen in my entire life.
And by the way, he made it look easy, the decision to go out of bounds. When Todd Gurley did it, it was as if he had the devil on the one shoulder, the angel on the other, and they were in a grappling match at the one-yard line about whether or not they were going to get him into the end zone and get the touchdown or not.
It was, I mean, I made several analogies, some I can't even say on air here, about the Todd Gurley one where you don't want to do it and against your will, you're going to do it. And I'm looking at Nick Chubb going, I can't believe he had the presence of mind to run out of bounds. I couldn't believe it.
Supposedly Baker told him in the huddle. Now, we got an email this morning of somebody calling BS. They said there's no way they were talking about a touchdown when they were at their own 40-yard line. But I bet you it comes up. I bet you it does.
I did not see that email. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was from, hold on here, that was Landon Daughtry, who emails us all the time, because he said Florio says Chubb told him after the game that Baker told him if he got the first down, don't score a touchdown. And he goes, I'm calling BS. They started that play at the 40-yard line.
Well, I think the idea was it was that whole no mas, that like that was designed. Like they knew in that huddle that if he got the first down, he was supposed to go down. Once you get the first down, you're supposed to go down. He kept running and then went out. But he knew not to score if he had the opportunity.
Well, it was obvious. It was obvious. There was never, like, Todd Gurley wrestled with the decision. It was almost like Final Destination where it was going to happen. Yeah. There was nothing that was going to keep him out of the end zone.
Would you have scored? What would you have done?
Well, okay, here's the thing.
Okay.
I've never done anything athletic, anything ever.
That doesn't matter. Just try to put yourself in
his
shoes.
Well, yeah, but Nick Chubb has scored touchdowns. He's had big moments. He's had huge SEC games. He's had big NFL games. He has feasted against some of the best players in the world.
And we know Anthony Lima hasn't. So
I haven't. I've done
anything. What would you do? I'm asking you. I'm not asking him.
I'd probably blank and forget whatever anybody told me, and I'd probably score the touchdown.
Yes. Isn't that the thing where it – instinct is supposed to take over. He's been taught since he was probably in third grade that get the ball and go try to score. That's what you're supposed to do. And the presence of mind was outrageous. It was outrageous to see. And it's outrageously good, but there's not a chance in hell I don't try to
score.
You
don't think he's been taught awareness in the time of the game and when situations arise to do certain things? Like, these guys are all taught not to go down out of bounds. If if you're leading the game late in the game, you want to keep the clock rolling, you try to go down in bounds. We saw Kareem Hunt do it in the first half.
And a good head coach will reinstate all that. A good head coach will reiterate.
I bet you they all do. I bet you they all do. I can't imagine a coach
even
not.
The bad
can't imagine Freddie.
I bet Freddie might have said it. Ah, who knows? Probably Freddie.
Everything's in play with Freddie.
Freddie would have been yelling, "Go, go!"
He wore
go,
a
go.
Yeah, he is a glorified fan. Freddie will
go through the tunnel like Forrest Gump. Keep going.
I mean, I would have scored. I would have scored, and I salute Nick Chubb for not scoring. I think it is.
Okay, so here's the question.
Such a great move by a football player. Yes.
Okay, if Baker supposedly told him. Obviously, the coaching staff is supposed to tell him. So how much credit should Nick Chubb get? Now, he fooled Jim Donovan. Jim Donovan was ready to give him the touchdown call.
All the credit in the world. Yep. Lyman, you know exactly. You have watched the draft with NFL players. Mm-hmm. You have been on the inside. We have heard the stories. We have talked to these guys. You know exactly how cold and calculated that business can be, where anybody can look at it and go, yeah, I know you said it, but I'm going to get mine, okay? Because this means money at the end of this. And he actually just was like, no, I'm good. Because Nick Chubb assumes he's going to score many, many, many touchdowns in the future, and he doesn't need it, and he doesn't care.
Or you're just so caught up in the moment, you forget. Someone could just tell you. Yes, how many times has someone told you personally something, and two minutes later, you do the exact opposite?
I got to get to this call.
Yeah,
hold
maybe
on.
Not even.
Damn it.
Like
right.
When they tell you you got a break and you take
keep
a call
this,
anyway?
Yeah, keep this guy here. Keep this person here, okay? 216-578-0092, they're getting in. Would you guys have scored? Be honest with yourself. Would you have scored on that? And if you're a gambler, tell me how you could actually still be mad at the Cleveland Browns here, because I'm just going to turn around on you and say, don't be betting on your favorite football team. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan. I think it's the hardest thing ever, what Nick Chubb did yesterday. I commend him so much for it. Favorite Brown, man.
What happens if he misses out on some incentive by one touchdown? Do the Browns owe him that money?
Yes.
Do they have to find a way to give him the money?
Oh, yes. This is not the time to pinch. Actually, this probably would be the time to pinch pennies. But you understand. This is not the time to pinch pennies if you're the Cleveland Browns. No. That's got to go. Okay, he has this many touchdowns, but it's always a plus one. Because he went out of bounds and he could have scored. And I would have scored. And I give him credit for the presence of mind. I wish I didn't see that email from who'd you say from Landon Daughtry through our email feed because you said it's like, well, they weren't planning on scoring a touchdown from their own 40. It's like, okay, that's a good point, but they might have been thinking about getting a first down. Yeah,
that run, people have to go back. That run was so spectacular because he should have been bottled up and they should have been punting the ball back to the Texans, and instead he almost houses the damn thing.
It was amazing. It really was. It was one of the most selfless acts I've ever seen in my life. I love him so much. God, I love him so. And I know he didn't care what I think. He doesn't care what any of us think. It makes me love him even more. Joe in Cleveland. Joe, you're first up on The Fan. Hello.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Joe.
Wanted to bring attention. You know, most teams practice situational football a lot. You know, various. I mean, you guys, I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with the two-minute drill where you're – where you're, you know, the quarterback
the two-minute drill
goes across the middle of the field. You know, got guys who catch the ball and know, like, hey, I got to get out of bounds as fast as possible. We're trying to score as fast as we can, the shortest amount of time. So there's just different things that you got to know when you're in a two-minute drill. Now, what people don't often know as much about, because it's not really talked about, is the four-minute drill is just the opposite of that.
The four-minute drill.
Basically, you know, you're in a situation where, and I'm sure they practice it all the time. And when you go into a huddle in that situation, I'm sure Stefanski brought it up. I'm sure, you know, Bay brought it up. Say, hey, like, we don't want to score. You know, guys know they want to get down. In fact, to be honest with you, if Houston had a timeout, Nick Chubb would have made a pretty big mistake there. You're not supposed to run out of bounds in a four-minute drill. You know, I mean, you should have probably
4 minute drill.
Stop, Joe. I think it's different practicing on the practice field in Berea than actually in the stadium, you know, icing a football game, though. Like, I would have scored.
I mean, that's a fair point. But, I mean, when you go out there, I mean, it's said, hey, we're in 4 minute here, you know. Everybody. I mean, that's what you're talking about is, hey, we're trying to run plays that are going to run clock off and get us first downs. I mean, that's the goal is to run the clock out. Can we eat up all this clock so the other team never gets the ball? I mean, it's talked about. Like, everybody should know that's
Joe,
the situation they're in.
Joe, I'm just pointing out from my standpoint, and thank you very much for the call, as an unapologetic, shameless self-promoter, if I'm running down the sidelines – and this is what makes Nick Chubb and I totally different. In the back of my mind, I'm going, Kareem Hunt, a two-year deal, huh? Kareem Hunt, all right, I'm getting mine. I'm going in the end zone. This is me. You guys got 11 people on defense. You guys go play defense. That's why I love Nick Chubb so much. He made a decision that I never would have made in a million years.
But what's more Nick Chubb than what he just did? I mean, the guy's so quiet. They talk about all the time when Kareem comes in the huddle, it's a different feeling, man, because he's always talking.
The man is an inspiration to us all. That's what Nick Chubb is.
I mean, the guy never celebrates. He hands the ball to the ref, which I'm not. Look, go celebrate. At least just make sure it's after touchdowns and not first downs, Jarvis Landry. But just to see his demeanor at all times, you just don't see guys like that in the league.
Get to Steve in Cleveland. You're next up on the fan. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. So here's the thing, man. What people don't realize is that when they go for, like, contract negotiations, like, the following year, 2 years down the road, are they going to remember when these players did this? I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
If you tried to do, if you were, I don't know who his agent is. I probably should know, but I don't, Steve. Like, if you were going to go, well, you only had this X amount of touchdowns and things like this to go, if you're just going to look at it and throw this stat in my face, then we're not going to have a conversation here. I guess you're either going to sign me to a franchise tag or we're going to move on. You know, that's what I'd say.
And the previous caller was talking about the 2- and 4-minute drill, but, I mean, why doesn't anyone talk about the 3-minute drill?
And the 5.
What about the 6.5-minute drill?
What about the 90-second drill?
I'd love to see them go over that.
We should do that.
Any type of drill that you got to avoid syphilis works for me.
Oh, nice. Steve, you bet.
Volunteer testing for syphilis.
What do you mean?
Syphilis.
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 21 cases of syphilis.
Syphilis!
I said I have syphilis!
Oh, my God. God, Hannah.
Nick Chubb is represented by CAA. Yeah, they're not going to just sit there and go, well, you had X amount of stats, and, well, okay, I guess we'll just sign whatever you want us to sign there. 216-578-0092. You want to do Lyman Likes when we come back?
We can.
We got calls. People want to get in.
All right. Whatever. We can push it back.
216-578-0092. We'll get to you guys next. What would you have done if you were Nick Chubb? The Browns are 6-3, by the way, and they find themselves in a playoff fight. That segment brought to you by Get-Go Cafe and Market. The Pilgrim is back for a limited time. It's like a Thanksgiving meal and a sandwich. Get-Go Cafe and Market. Better believe it. I can't go on the air and go, hey, folks, this is Ken Carmen for so-and-so. Like, I can't. I don't gamble. You and I don't gamble. And so we're like, oh,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You can go pound sand for all you care about. Cause there were people going, oh my, you said one of your friends threw a beer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Chucked it right. The people that we were around were so, like, they're happy the Browns won, obviously, but they thought they were going to win no matter what happened. So the fact that they were going to win, it was almost a certainty they were going to win, and then they thought they were going to win their bet, only to lose their bet in agonizing fashion. That's what upset them.
What did he? I assume it was a he. What did he bet? Well, how much?
You know what? I would imagine most of these bets are in the 100 to 200 unit category.
So they threw a beer over that?
Oh, yeah. He was frustrated.
Well,
and I love gambling, but I'd be like in the 2-5 dollar range.
I'm not
betting $50 to $100.
First off, I don't really like to gamble. The second thing is, I would never ever bet on the Browns.
I get
ever.
Mad when I lose ever. $5. I'm not betting $100.
And that's not for or against, exactly. But it's not just either for or against the Browns. It's like, oh, I'm not betting on the Browns. I'm not betting on the game in general. I would never bet on a game that the Browns are in. Because even if they win and you bet against them, then it's like, I still lost money, but they won. So that isn't as fun. And if they win, like if they win and you bet on them, I guess it's that much more euphoric because they won you money. So I guess there is an upside. But I think everything else is just a downer.
Like, I've understood, Kenny, for years, if you're watching Browns games, terrible Browns football, terrible Browns quarterbacks, terrible coaches, terrible players. If you do all that, sometimes gambling's the only thing that can make those games appetizing. The only thing that can make the time pass by that you're not just going to get upset on Sundays. You go and bet on the game, and maybe you win. Maybe you do bet against the Browns. I know a lot of people who've bet against the Browns over the years. Now, I couldn't do that. That, to me, would be really hard to go through. But I guess if they were bad and they were never covering, then at least you make some money on the bad Browns.
But that still doesn't make it appetizing. I'm sorry, Anthony. That still doesn't make it great because your team's 6-3. Nick Chubb's back. He looks almost like he did right before the injury. He still looks good, does he not? And you got friends winging beers at the wall over there.
They lost an extra $8 for the beer.
Yeah. I mean, that's no fun. Why would you want to gamble on that? So if you lost money on it, I'm sorry. That's your fault, not mine. And I guess it just sucks to be you. And it's the same thing with fantasy football.
Oh, I've said fantasy and gambling. We've hit on this theme a ton, that fantasy and gambling have kind of taken some of the bite out of the NFL.
Of the true fan of the football team, you are 100% correct.
Yeah, that's why I don't do fantasy anymore. I haven't done fantasy in like 4 years because I got tired of rooting for players playing against my team.
Because you find yourself rooting, and then because if you're a competitor, because you think about this, if you're putting $100 into the pot for your fantasy football team, like when I played fantasy football, it was $100 a year, not the fan, the one I got locked out of. When I played fantasy football back in the day, it was $100 a year. And then you're taking, well, I can't take Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, I have to take Pittsburgh Steelers. What am I putting $100 into the pool for if I'm not taking Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm not taking Heath Miller or something like that. So I have to find myself, well, I got the Steelers defense. Well, I can't help but start the Steelers defense against the Cleveland Browns offense. That's no fun at all.
That sucks.
That whole feeling sucks. And then I find myself in a situation where if you really want to get into the fantasy football problem of it, I had a guy actually forge an email from me to make a trade because I stopped paying attention to my team halfway. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. he's a lawyer down in Canton, I swear to God.
What?
He forged an email from me when I was in college. He and the guy who was in charge of the fantasy football league, the commissioner, forged an email. And, hey, this isn't even my email address. This isn't my email. Oh yeah, it was nefarious. It was bad stuff, man.
Good lawyering. Yeah. I know that guy. Woo. I want that guy on my side at any time.
No kidding.
It's like, what is someone furnished me the email that was signed for me? It was about to tell you how long this was like TJ Houshmandzadeh. Like it was trading that guy, and I'm going, what? I didn't send this. 216-578-0092. So I'm sorry if you lost money. Because Nick Chubb ran out of bounds yesterday. Folks, Lyman knows what I'm going to say. It sucks to be you. Let me get to Jay on the Lake Shore. He's next up on the fan. Hello, Jay.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, y'all? Good morning, sir.
Morning, Jay.
Hey, about the game and stuff.
Yeah.
As I was watching the game, you know what I'm saying, on Twitter Live, we were having some extracurricular, pro-curricular activity, and at the time it was a head-scratcher. So I was like, what just happened? And then, you know, they was like, he ran out of bounds, just not to run the score up. So at the same time, honestly, I probably would have did it, but at the same time, I thought he was being nice to Romeo Crennel. He probably was, but too.
Whoa. He's being nice to Romeo Crennel.
Stitchy
Boochies.
Jay, I bet Nick Chubb, if you asked Nick Chubb, he would have no idea this morning that Romeo Crennel ever coached the Cleveland Browns. I bet he has no clue.
Oh, yeah, and too. Y'all did say that Texas is a good team. So if he did probably score, they could kind of like score a touchdown too.
Well, because Jay, thank you for the call. It was something
else. All right.
It is 6:49 in the morning, man.
Wake and bake.
I mean, if he's working second shift, what the hell? He's probably still up. All right. There was like 56 seconds left in the game. There could have been a scenario where Deshaun Watson just willed them to a touchdown in 90 seconds in the fourth quarter there. They completed that pass to Randall Cobb, and then it was like, oh, yeah, we're the Texans. We could score. And Pharaoh Brown scores a touchdown. It's 10-7. Donovan Peoples-Jones muffs the kickoff. They had the ball at like the two-yard line. Wasn't it the two-yard?
Oh, my God.
And you know,
I could not believe that.
You got that feeling, too, didn't you? Because I got that feeling.
I did.
Yeah.
And remember, it was Zach Jackson, who we hate, who tweeted before the game.
I know two guys whose names are spelled Z-A-C who are in or around the NFL, and they're both failures. Go.
But he had the tweet before the game, these wins paired with Donovan Peoples-Jones in return is going to be scary, and wouldn't you know, at that exact juncture in the fourth quarter, he muffs it, and they have horrific starting field position.
I'm like, man, this is not going to be it, man. This is not going to be it. And
Is there any concern from anyone of this maybe biting us in the ass?
Why?
For a tiebreaker later on to get into the playoffs.
Oh, because of the points scored?
Because of points.
Maybe.
It is. I mean, it is a possibility. You got to go, like 4 or 5 down to get to something like that.
Well, we were going to talk about that at 7, so that's great foreshadowing. I hate to tell you.
I didn't even think it's something like that.
Damn it. I didn't even think about that.
Come on, what are the odds?
He's one, he's one player. I would have looked at it. If he would have scored and anybody would have had anything to say, I'd go, yeah, you got 11 guys on defense. Go stop him. Go make a stop. You're a defense. That's what you're paid to do. When it comes to the offense, okay, there's 10 other guys. Go run an offense. Well, there's 10 guys on defense. I can't count Andrew Sendejo. But there's 10 other guys on offense that you can go out and you can score more points with. And, hey, you got the Jets and Giants coming up. Don't tell me you can't make up that 7 points somewhere. You can make that 7 points up with the Jets.
You should be able to, but those points are already gone.
AT in East Cleveland, you're next up on the fan. It froze. There we go. AT.
Hey, everybody. I'm happy about them Browns. The Texans got Bam Boom, or they got Chunt, for real.
Thank you very much.
That's our running back tandem. That's all we need to do is run the rest of the season, run a little pass into the tight ends, a little pass in here. As long as Chubb stay healthy. We in the playoffs, and we might can go deep.
AT, thank you very much. And he used the proper nickname. Some people are saying, like, Rocket Dog or something like that. Like, oh, no, the nickname is Chunt. That is the nickname for the two players.
Yes. Did you just say Rocket Dog?
Somebody tweeted at me, goes, that's not the nickname, it's Rocket Dog. I go, no, the nickname is Chunt. You're not going to tell me what the nickname is. We made up the nickname.
I mean, I've heard a couple high things this morning, but that's the highest thing I've heard.
Someone's like, no, it's this. I go, no, the nickname is Chunt. That's what the team, that's what the show calls them, and that's what they are. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. That's what they are.
Do you agree with that caller?
Because he's going to be off a beat. You know how this goes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know. The chanting's been ruined
on
this show.
I apologize.
Do you think...
Damn pandemic.
Do you agree with that caller that this is all they need to do? That they can get away with just running the football like that the rest of the year against good teams?
No, and I know what you did yesterday on Twitter. And I know a lot of people are upset because they decided to tag me in it, and we will get to that at around 7:20. Up next, some foreshadowing, because it's a good thing you won yesterday, because 3 other teams did it. He got some weird help from an awkward place. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.